Shabbat, 9 o'clock sharp on a Tuesday morning.
Okay.
Sefer mitzvahs,
no,
but
no.
Instead, today
so
we have.
I'll explain. Obviously, the last year before Tisha B'av, so I looked in the Sefer HaMitzvahs for the mitzvah of fasting on Tisha B'av. It's obviously not there. Why is it obviously not there? Because it's not a Doraisa. Because the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash happened after Chamisha Chumshei Torah was finished. So that's easy. But it's not so easy. We spend a lot of time here talking about the difference between Doraisas and Rabbanans and whether something should be counted as a mitzvah or not. So it's clear L'chol HaDeos that fasting on Tisha B'av couldn't be a mitzvah Doraisa, even though it has roots in a Doraisa. But exactly how severe it is, what level of Rabbanan, is open to question. When we think about the fasts for a second, okay? The most important fast and the only one that's min HaTorah is
Yom Kippur.
Okay? Now, if you drop, let's say, Tanis Esther, which is clearly, you know, belongs to a different group, and thank you very much, you know, doesn't count in this, you're left with what we call the four fasts, the Dalet Tzomot. They are, in the order of our calendar, Tzom Gedalia, Asara B'Teves, and the ones we know best now, because we're in between, Shivasar B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av. Those four are a group. So if I asked you, how do you rank those four?
Well,
from most important to least important.
Tisha B'Av is most important.
Okay.
Because we know it starts at night, let's say, not just the day.
For a million reasons, we all brought up to say that Tisha B'Av is the most important.
Maybe the 10th of Tevet, because we don't change its day.
So after that, it doesn't really matter. I think the answer is Tisha B'Av and then the other three. Emotionally, there's no question that Tzom Gedalia gets the least press. Because Tzom Gedalia, which really happened on Rosh Hashanah, got bumped to the day after. People are thinking about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Nobody's particularly sad on Tzom Gedalia, even though it's supposed to be part, you know, you're supposed to be thinking about Churban Beis HaMikdash. If we're honest with ourselves, that's not what happens on Tzom Gedalia. And Asar B'Teves has been turned into, at least in the state of Israel, you know, a Holocaust Memorial Day. I'm not knocking it. That was a big machlokas when the state was founded. You know, halachically, we would say Tisha B'Av, other three. Emotionally, if we were honest with ourselves, we would say, starting from the bottom, you know, Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Teves, then Shivasar B'Tamuz, then Tisha B'Av. Okay? We'll be surprised to find that in Nach, they're treated as a group. And one of the things we'll need to sort out is, how did it happen that if they're treated as being equally important, how did it happen halachically that, and certainly it's true halachically, Tisha B'Av is a 25-hour fast with all the other inuyim, right? Or said a different way, Tisha B'Av is modeled on Yom Kippur, which is the only Doraisa fast. The other three have no source. There is nothing in the Torah about fasting from sunup to sundown. There's no such thing. There's just Yom Kippur as the model. So we'll either have to figure out how it is that Tisha B'Av got promoted to be like Yom Kippur, or how the other three got demoted to be something less than Yom Kippur. But let's start with something interesting. With the founding of the State of Israel, a bunch of halachos became subject to discussion. I would rank them as follows. They're bizarre. If you go on the internet, the first thing that people care about nowadays, given the founding of the state, is kitnios on Pesach. And the whole movement, you know, gotta get rid of kitnios. Fine. Number two on my list after that is the Har HaBayis. A distant two to kitnios, which is the most important issue in the world. You know, going on the Har HaBayis, not going on the Har HaBayis. That's a discussion. Okay? Then there's establishing Yom HaTzmut, Yom Yishalayim. But fourth, I think, and it comes up every year if you scour the internet enough, people going, wait, why are we fasting on Tisha B'Av? Don't we have a state of Israel? Right? You know, what exactly is it that's going to stop the fast of Tisha B'Av? So if I asked you, and by the way, this is all theoretical, obviously, we're going to, you'll say, well, when Mashiach comes, building the Beis HaMikdash. But it's not so simple. I want to take seriously the question of why it is that we still fast Tisha B'Av the way we do again. I'm taking it seriously, theoretically. no one, anybody who's listening on this thing, don't shut it off now, because in fact, you know, although I hope we don't fast this coming Tisha B'Av, it's not because the status quo continues. Wait one second. So there is a model for a time like this in history. Not an exact parallel, but a broad parallel, which is Bayis Sheni. Okay? In Bayis Sheni, people returned from Bavel, a very small group, 43,000 or so, a real minority. And the Navi describes them as complete losers, you know, like us, right? You know, the people, not the rich people, not the well-educated, just the schleppers. You know, they had nothing better to do, so they came back. It wasn't so happy. But, and we, you know, also when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, the Navi is clear, the people who remember the first Beis HaMikdash cried because it wasn't anywhere near as nice or as holy as the first. It's kind of a model. Now, let's look.
I would think that all these fasts culminate, and therefore that, because it's the ultimate ending.
Give me a chance. Okay? Let's look at the Navi. A very interesting thing, it is in the Navi. In Zechariah tells a very interesting story. And it's our question. Says the Navi, Vahi bishnat arba'a ledar yavesh ha-melech, it happened to have been in Kislev that this issue happened. Background. The second Beis HaMikdash more or less was begun in the second year of Daryavesh, otherwise known as Darius, and he gave us permission, and it was completed in the sixth year. Okay, so the fourth year of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, the way I imagine it is, you know, they're scaffolding up on the Har HaBayis, there's big like barriers, you could see these earth moving material, you know, you can see the cranes, it's like the Zayat all the time, right?
Caterpillars,
all these things are moving up there. The outline of the Beis HaMikdash is up there. So these people come from Bavel, it's the middle of the winter, but they're curious, they come from Bavel to ask a Shaila of Zechariah the Navi. Second pasuk. Take my word for it. It's a delegation from Bavel, or in our language, it's a delegation from the five towns. Okay? The people who didn't make Aliyah want to know the following. Here's their question. Should we cry in the fifth month? What's the fifth month? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. They're talking about Tisha B'Av. Should we cry on Tisha B'Av? Ha'ev kebachon shechamishi, hi nazer, should we refrain, meaning should we fast? Kasher asiti zeh kamesh shanim. Basically, they've been fasting since the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. 70 years they've been fasting. Every year they fast on Tisha B'Av. Now, they didn't make Aliyah. Okay, they're still living in Chutzlars, they're still in the five towns, but they know the Beis HaMikdash is being rebuilt. So they want to know, do we keep on fasting? It's a Shaila, Halacha L'maisa, they come to ask Zechariah HaNavi, should we continue fasting given that the Beis HaMikdash is being rebuilt? Now,
just to understand, are they asking for themselves? For the people only in Chutzlars should fast, people there to show
it's a good fast? Question. It's a good question.
What's the question?
So it's always hard to, it's always a little difficult to know to extrapolate. These were people from Chutzlars. Were they asking also for the Jews of Eretz Israel? Or said a different way, did the Jews of Eretz Israel fast during Bayis Sheni? We'll come back to that. That's a machlokas. Machlokas in history.
They had no gadol in Babylonia, and why would they ask a halakha question to a nothing?
That's a good question. But because he speaks to God. Presumably. They didn't look in a book. They thought, we got a guy who speaks to God. Why don't we ask him? And he has an answer. Okay? This is the beginning of Perek Zayin. The answer comes at the end of Perek Chet, in the second paragraph. Perek Chet, Pasuk Yud Chet. I'm sorry, yeah, Pasuk Yud Chet. Vayhi dvar Hashem tzvakot elai lemor. The Navi, Zechariah, says, I got a nevuah. This is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Problem is, no one understands what he said. Here's the pasuk. Kol Amar Hashem Tzvakot. Very important pasuk. Tzom HaRevi'i. What's Tzom HaRevi'i?
Fourth
month. Shivaso B'Tamuz. V'Tzom HaChamishi.
This one.
Just going in order of months. The fifth month, Tisha B'Av. V'Tzom HaShivi'i. That's Tishrei. That's Tzom Gedalia. V'Tzom Ha'asiri. That's easy. That's Asar B'Teves. Yihiyat Levet Yehuda L'Sasonu L'Simcha U'Lemoadim Tovim. They will be holidays and joyous festivals. V'Ha'emet V'Hashalom Ehavu. Love, peace, and justice. Okay? What's the answer? Should they fast or not fast? It's an enigmatic puzzle. And the Gemara will talk about it also. But this is the puzzle. Okay? You need to know. Anybody who asks you any question about, you know, the four fast days, this is the only puzzle that describes them as such, all four together. And the one thing I know from this puzzle, even if I don't understand it, is they're all the same. Because whatever his answer was, they asked, Ha'ev kebach chodesh ha-chamishi, should we continue observing Tisha B'Av? And the answer is, Tzom ha-rivi'i, v'tzom ha-chamishi, v'tzom ha-shivi'i, v'tzom ha-asiri, yihiya le-beit yudah le-sasonu le-simcha. The fast days, he calls them fast days, and he says they will be holidays. I don't know what it means, but I know that it basically classifies all four, whatever the answer is, all four are the same. So we will have to answer, our questions only become harder, which is, who made Tisha B'Av more important? How did that happen halachically if the Navi describes them all as the same? And second, what in fact was the answer? What in the world does it mean? Okay.
This is what they get for asking the Navi instead of their rabbi.
Okay. I'm on my best behavior here. Shivasatam. Okay. So, let's now look at the Mishnah and the Gemara that parses this halacha. The Mishnah has an interesting discussion. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches Amar Aleph says as follows: Al Shisha Chadashim Hashluchin Yotzin. Background: in the old days, they were Mekadesh Chodesh Al Pi Ariyah, meaning, if you wanted to know, you know, how do I know? How do we know that Tisha B'Av, God willing, I'm sorry, that Rosh Chodesh will, God willing, be this Friday? So, okay, maybe you were in shul, but in the old days they couldn't do it in advance. Or, there's one place that Jews look to know when it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. The answer is the refrigerator. That's where the shul calendar is generally hanging, okay, if you have a magnetic refrigerator. This was true, I think, for Jews for thousands of years. It hung on the refrigerator. So that's where you look. But before that, there was no, the young Israel of the old city didn't exist, didn't send out a calendar. You had to wait for them to declare Rosh Chodesh. Now, how did you find out? If you lived in Haifa, you know, they declared Rosh Chodesh Yerushalayim, you had to get the word out. So,
Ezra's Torah.
Says the Mishnah, even before Ezra's Torah, says the Mishnah, Al Shisha Chadashim HaShluchim Yotzim. Bez Din sent out messengers, and this means even including Chilul Shabbos, because they had to get the word out, for 6 months. Well, 6 months so that people would find out when Rosh Chodesh was. What are the 6 months? Mishnah tells us. Al Nisan Mipnei HaPesach. They had to send them out Rosh Chodesh Nisan so people could know when to make the Seder. Al Av Mipnei HaTainis. They sent out for Av because people had to know when to fast. Al Elul Mipnei Rosh Hashanah. Right, because Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh. There's no chance you could get the word out on that day. Generally speaking, the rule was Elul was always Chazer. Elul was always a 29-day month. They did it so people would know when Rosh Hashanah was. So they sent out Shluchim for Elul so that people could know when Rosh Hashanah was. Al Tishrei mipei takanas hamoados. They sent out again on Tishrei, not because of Rosh Hashanah, because it was too late. Mipnei Takanas HaMoados, presumably Yom Kippur and Sukkah, so that people could know for sure when those were. Al Kislev Mipnei Chanukah. Okay, that's interesting. It's only Drabanan. Val Adar Mipnei Apurim. Okay, also Drabanan. So, first of all, you could see that this is obviously in Bayis Sheni, or even later, when there was still a Sanhedrin, because it includes Chanukah, Purim, and Tisha B'Av, which certainly wasn't anything during Bayis Rishon. Okay? Now, the Mishnah finishes, Ukshaya, Beis HaMikdash Kayam, to make it clear. He says, when the Beis HaMikdash existed, then Yotzin Afal Iyar Mipnei Pesach Kata. Then they sent out, for not just Nisan, but for Iyar, for those people who are keeping Pesach Sheni, they needed to know exactly what date it was. Many people explain on the Mishnah that it says al shisha chadashim hashuchim yosim, they went up for 6 months. When the Beis Hamikdash was kayam, they didn't send for Av, for Tisha B'Av, but they did send for Pesach Sheni, so they always kept the number 6. Okay? Now, what's the obvious question? Again, I showed you a pasuk in Zechariah, and the only thing we were able to conclude from that pasuk was all 4 fast days were of the same level of severity. Right? The Navi said, whatever the answer is, all 4 fast days have the same answer. Now, what happened in this Mishnah? What do you see in this Mishnah, at least?
Only
Tisha B'Av. Okay? So now, let's be fair. They would never send out for Tzom Gedalia because they were sending out anyway. Okay? So what's left?
Teves.
And, I guess, Tammuz. Okay? Asks the Gemara... Right, next paragraph. Asks the Gemara, V'lifku nami atamuz v'teves. Wait, why are they not sending out shluchim? Our question, why are they not sending out shluchim also for Tammuz, for Shivasar b'Tammuz, and for Asar b'Teves? Da'am Rav Chana b'Abizna, Rav Shimon Chasida, because our pasuk, Mai dichsiv, Kolam HaShem tzvakos, Tzom harivi, V'tzom hachamishi, V'tzom hashvi, V'tzom haasiri, Yihi elevate Yehuda, L'sason ul'simcha. What's the drasha? Karuluhu tzom, on the one hand, the pasuk says they'll be their fast days, V'karuluhu sason v'simcha. On the other hand, the pasuk says there'll be holidays. What's the answer? He says, Bizman sheyesh shalom yihiyu l'sason u'l'simcha. When there's shalom, there'll be holidays. Ein shalom tzom. If there's no shalom, then they're fast days. So he's trying to explain to you that there are times when these things are fast days, there are times when they are holidays. But that's not the line that we need, because that's not how we paskin.
Political situation.
Well, let's see. Here's how we paskin. Amar of Papa. Fourth line of that paragraph. Hachi Kamar. This is the halacha. Bizman sheyesh shalom. When there is, I'm purposely not translating it. When there is something called shalom, yihiyu l'sason u'l'simcha. Then the 4 fast days are holidays. Yesh shmad. There's something called shmad tzom. Then they're fast days. Ein shmad ve'ein shalom. An in-between situation of no shmad and no shalom. Ratzu mitanim. Ratzu ein mitanim. We'll come back. Give me a chance. Then it's optional. Let's explain again. It's not really answering the question. We'll come back to the question. The Gemara right now wants to know, what does the pasuk mean? They came to ask Zechariah, should we fast or not? And Zechariah said, well, they're fast days, but they're also holidays. Answers the Gemara as follows. It depends. Bizman sheyesh shalom. When there's something called shalom, not only don't you fast, you celebrate. It's a holiday. When there's shmad, again, we'll come to this in a second. Whatever it is, shalom is good, and shmad is bad. Okay, can we be clear about that? When there's shmad, then you have to fast. When there's neither shalom or shmad, there's something in between, then ratzu mitanin, if you want, you can fast. Ratzu ein mitanin, you're in between. The fast is optional. Okay? We'll have to get to where we are now. But again, because we don't think the fast is optional. Nobody's asking you whether you want to fast or not on Tisha B'Av. God forbid, if nothing happens before Tisha B'Av, the fast will be mandatory. We have to understand that. Now, how does this answer the question at all? The question was, wait, why are we not sending out shluchim for both Tammuz and Teves, the way we're sending them out for Tisha B'Av? They're all supposed to be the same level of severity. Here's the answer. Back in the Gemara. Second to last full line. Asks the Gemara the question again. Ihachi Tisha B'Av Nami. If what you're saying is, the reason why we don't send out shluchim for Shivasar b'Tammuz and Asar b'Teves is because it's optional, and I can understand. If the fast is optional, we're not going to send out shluchim be Michal Shabbos. It's a big effort. No problem. So if that's true, so why is Tisha B'Av also not optional? Again, all 4 are supposed to be on the same level when you look in the Navi. Answers the Gemara, second to last full line, Amar of Papa, Shiny Tisha B'Av. No, Tisha B'Av is different. Ho'il v'huch b'lu bo tzarot. Huchbalu from the word kefel. Again, multiple bad things happened on that day. We'll have to understand what that line is also. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara says Tisha B'Av is worse. Worse things happened on Tisha B'Av than happened on the others. The Amar Mar, because we have a brisa that says Tisha B'Av Charav HaBayit Barishona Ubishniya. The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed twice on Tisha B'Av. V'nilkeda Beitar, and Beitar was plowed over. V'nechusha Ha'ir, I'm sorry, Beitar was captured. V'nechusha Ha'ir, Yerushalayim was plowed over. Tisha B'Av is the worst day. Okay? So the simple answer, the Gemara says, is why did Shluchim go out for Tisha B'Av and not the other three? The answer is because Tisha B'Av was worse. Even though in the Pasuk, in Zechariah, it sounds like all four are the same. Now what we have to do is answer our question. What's the status of Tisha B'Av Bizman Hazeh? How is it any different? So first we have to translate. There are three basics. We have to translate the following terms. What does it mean, Bizman Sheyesh Shalom? Then it's going to be a holiday. We have to ask, do we have Shalom Bizman Hazeh? Right? What does it mean, Bizman Sheyesh Shman? When there's persecution, then it's a fast day. In between is what? Optional. Except Tisha B'Av is not optional. Ho'el v'huchbulu bo tzarot. Now, question. No, I'm not calling on you.
When I say
I'm not calling on you, it means you're not going to talk. Because I'm going to call on you for you to talk. Now, huchbulu bo tzarot, one second. What does it mean, huchbulu bo tzarot? The question is, does it mean that Tisha B'Av was always different? Or does it mean that at some point we accepted Tisha B'Av as being more severe, but it could have been otherwise? A bad example, Maariv, right? Maariv wasn't mandatory. At some point we accepted Maariv on ourselves as mandatory. Now it's mandatory. The question is, was there a point in history where we said, ooh, Tisha B'Av, it's worse, we're going to accept, or it was always such? Yes?
Since it says Lebeis Yehuda, it sounds like for the people in Beis Yehuda, perhaps, this whole question is upon them, not Jews sitting in...
It's a good drasha. The Gemara doesn't choose to make your drasha. The Gemara seems to say it applies to all of us, but it's a fair point.
But it says that's going to be that Sikha. I think it will all happen because of global.
For sure. So that's what I want to discuss now. Now I want to discuss that. What does it mean? If I ask you, let's just do it this way. 30 seconds of discussion. The Gemara says, Bizman Sheyesh Shalom. Do we have Shalom, Bizman Hazeh? What does Shalom mean?
No.
This is the class participation.
It's not a war state.
We have no peace with the so-called Palestinians.
Okay, so you're saying, when we sign a peace treaty, then we'll have Shalom?
At this moment.
Okay, so you're translate your words, you're saying Shalom means peace.
Complete peace.
Okay, you mean Shalom is it's a political term, it means we live in peace.
General,
I'm good. Other pshat?
The Ritzvah says basically when we live in Eretz Yisrael and have the Beis HaMikdash, there's 2 points.
Okay, so do you cheat or you actually knew this?
I did that.
Okay, so...
I read something last night.
Okay, so just so you'll know, unless I quickly put everybody to sleep, run home, put the Ritva on the sheet, and come back, I got it. Okay? What's the Shita? Say it again.
When we live in Eretz Yisrael and have rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash, that's because...
So Mr. Weiser says it's a political concept, and Rabbi Ritva says... It's the Beis HaMikdash. When we say Shalom, we mean when the Beis HaMikdash comes. So that's a Machlokas HaRishonim. Look inside. Number three, Mr. Weiser is really Rabbi Rashi. Number three, Rashi says Sheyesh Shalom, She'ein Yad HaGoyim Tkeifa Al Yisrael. It's almost Mr. Weiser. She'ein Yad HaGoyim Tkeifa Al Yisrael means the Goyim aren't in charge of us. Now, open discussion whether that's actually the case now or not. Right? We have an independent state, but we really don't act independently all the time. Again, I don't want this to turn into a political discussion, but you could argue, Bizman Hazeh, that we have Shalom, because in theory, take a good example. in theory, if we wanted to, we could bomb the nuclear reactor that's being built in Iraq. On the other hand, we'll lose American aid, and the world, you know, that's a tough call. But that's the political one. You could argue it. But if you say, like the Ritva, look at number four, the Ritva says, Ela amru ki bizman sheyesh shalom, kilomar sheyisrael shruyin al admatam. Okay, that we have. We're living here. Ubeit hamikdash kayam, and you have the Beit Hamikdash, then yihiyu v'sasonu l'simcha. V'im ein shalom, what does it mean ein shalom? Shebeit hamikdash charev. Okay? So according to the Ritz, there's no question. We do not have shalom bizman hazeh, because we do not have a Beit Hamikdash. According to Rashi, it's arguable. Maybe we have shalom, maybe we don't. That's the term shalom. Okay, now, easier. What is shmad? So, Mr. Weiser knows what shmad is.
Can you report on
that? Shmad is
for
religious.
Why?
We in Yiddish, or they grew up with shmad. Shmad are like.
Yeah, they're making the goyim are making a shmad on us. Yeah. Right.
What the bit is that shmat means something not good.
Okay, so it's a terrible thing. Shmat, it could be the same discussion. Shmat could be religious persecution, where we're not allowed to practice our religion. Clearly, that doesn't apply bizman hazeh. Okay, clearly it doesn't apply bizman hazeh. You know, you could practice your religion any way you want bizman hazeh. Even in Chutz La'aretz, for the most part, certainly in Israel, Shmad, are we being persecuted? So there's terrorism, but I would argue that there's no question. We do not live in a time of Shmad. I don't care what anybody says. Shmad is not translated. It's true. There's no Beis Hamikdash, and you could say that we don't have Shalom Bizman Hazeh. But I will not accept that we live in a time of Shmad. I mean, bad things happen from time to time, but. If you had Mr. Weiser's life, there's no way you would describe what we have bizman hazeh. If you came from Europe before the war, there's no way you would describe what we have bizman hazeh shmad. My grandfather would have dreamt, thinks it's Gan Eden what we have in Israel. Yes, we have terrorism. It's not the peace that we want. There's no way that is shmad. Quick.
Zachariah's answering these men.
Stop with Zachariah. Stop.
Well, because right that pasuk.
We're in the Gemara now. We're in the Gemara now.
But that phrase you
we'll
want to
come
explain,
back to
he
it.
Has a temple eyepiece.
We'll come back to it. So the Gemara says, shalom means this. When there's shalom, you have to fast. When there's shmad, you don't have to fast. There's no way there was shmad during the time of Zechariah.
Right. So he's
although, one second. No. I said that too quickly. I retract that. How did they build the Beis HaMikdash?
With Persian permission.
They needed permission.
So
just let me finish. Okay? So, arguably, maybe we live in a time of shalom, bizman hazeh, but if we don't live that, we live in an in-between time. Because we don't live in a time of shmad. So, Tisha B'Av, it means all the three fast days are optional. What about Tisha B'Av? So Tisha B'Av is ho'el v'huch b'lu b'otzarot. Now the question becomes, what is huch b'lu b'otzarot? Again, huch b'lu lichpol, that's to double. Kefel is to double, right? A double fine. So either it means the same bad thing happened on Tisha B'Av. What would the same bad thing mean? The Beis HaMikdash happened twice. Or it means many bad things happened. The problem is, the Mishnah at the end of Tainis, I forget where, it's one of the small Masechtos, says five bad things happened on Tisha B'Av, but five bad things happened on Shivaso B'Tammuz also. Right? So there are a lot of bad things, although there's no question the bad things that happen on Tisha B'Av are far worse. So let's see if we can figure out. What does it mean, Hol v'huch b'lu b'otzaro? So look in the number five, the Me'iri says as follows. V'tisha B'Av eino b'chlal zeh. Tisha B'Av was never optional. Why? Ela be'ein shmad ve'ein shalom mit animbo. They fasted on Tisha B'Av all the time. Ho'el v'huch b'lu b'otzarot b'yom ha'taniyah. Because many bad things happen on Tisha B'Av. So, this answers my question. I asked at the beginning, was Tisha B'Av ever optional? The Meir says it was never optional. From the start, despite what it says in the Pasuk, Tisha B'Av Hol V'Huchbulu Bo Tzarot was always designated as mandatory. Now the question is, what does it mean, Hol V'Huchbulu Bo Tzarot? And more importantly, what did the Jews do during Ba'i Sheni? Okay? I'm about to discuss that. Okay? We're about to discuss your issue. Now, they are related issues. Why are they related issues? Why is the definition of Huchbulu Bo Tzarot, why will that impact whether they fasted in Ba'i Sheni or not?
Like a Zecher almost.
No. This is easy.
It wasn't a Korban in Ba'i Sheni.
Because Tisha B'Av hadn't been destroyed twice yet. I'm sorry, the Beis Hamikdash hadn't been destroyed twice during Ba'i Sheni. Right? If Huchbulu Bo Tzarot means the same bad thing happened twice, namely, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed twice, then for sure they wouldn't have fasted during Ba'i Sheni because the Beis Hamikdash hadn't yet been destroyed a second time. It can't be.
If
Huchbulu Bo Tzarot means no, but the things that happened on Tisha B'Av were so bad, meaning the Chet HaMeraglim, for example, and Churban Bayis Rishon, then maybe they would continue fasting during Bayis Sheni. Now, in fact, did they fast during Bayis Sheni or not? Critical question, and it's a Machlokes HaRishonim. It's interesting, you would think we would have historical data. We would know whether Tisha B'Av was a day of fasting or a day of rejoicing or in between during Bayis Sheni. Apparently we're not so sure. Look at the Rambam. In number 6, flip over. The Rambam in the Perish HaMishnayis, on the Mishnah that we read before, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, says the Rambam, Ubebayis Sheni lo hayu mit'anin lo asiri b'tevet v'lo shiva asar b'tamuz. Says the Rambam, in Bayis Sheni they didn't fast, not on shiva asar b'tamuz, not on asar b'teves, and certainly not for Tzom Gedalia. Ella harotze yitaneh o shelo yitaneh. One second.
Says
not like today. Says
no,
not like today. You can say it over and over again. I'm going to keep disagreeing. But that's not the halacha. Give me a chance. Ella harotze yitaneh o shelo yitaneh. Says the Ram during Bayis Sheni, asar b'tevi shvus v'tamos was optional, but. V'hayu mit anin Tisha B'Av, but they did fast on Tisha B'Av, afal pi shehu masur lirtzonam, even though it was up to them. So, just an interesting thing here. It means the Rambam thinks that Tisha B'Av was optional, but that they chose to fast mipnei shehuch bulu bo tzarot kimoshi itbayer b'taniot. I'm sorry, the Mishnah was, it's at the end of Tanis. Oh, that's what I said. Okay. Says the Rambam, historically, okay, the Jews had the choice during Bayis Sheni. I'm sorry. The other three fasts during Bayis Sheni were optional. But the Jews chose to fast on Tisha B'Av during Bayis Sheni. So the first thing we see is that whatever the Rambam thinks Huch Bulu Bo Tzarot means, it doesn't mean that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed twice. Again, it hadn't happened yet. What it means is those things which happened on Tisha B'Av, meaning namely the destruction of the base of Bayis Rishon and the Chet HaMeraglim particularly, they were so serious that the Jews during Bayis Sheni chose to fast on Tisha B'Av. Now, what does that mean? What does the Rambam hold in terms of Shalom? What does Shalom mean? If he thinks that the Jews fasted during Bayis Sheni, what does Shalom mean?
Oh.
The answer is, it can't mean the Ritva. It can't mean the Beis HaMikdash, because there was a Beis HaMikdash. It must mean, Shalom for the Rambam, must mean political sovereignty, which there was not, as Bruce wants to tell us, which there was not during Bayis Sheni. We needed permission of the ruling foreign power in order to build the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, it wasn't Shalom. Now, probably it wasn't Shmad either. Says the Rambam, they had a choice, and the Jews chose to fast on Tisha B'Av.
I would have thought at least the religious independence. So because the Kohanim in those days were hired.
Okay, I don't want to get into all the politics, but more or less they were not free. Okay, that's the Rambam. Pretty disappointing, because we like to think of as a Beis Hamikdash, the idea of like fasting when it was a Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, it's not, you know, I didn't like it. It's obviously the Rambam, but you know, kind of ruins the vision of what it was like in the Beis Hamikdash. You know who else didn't like it? The Tashbates. The Tashbates could not believe such a thing.
Jesus did not.
Okay, you can't talk anymore. Number 7 says the Tashbates. Ubeperish hamishnais laharambam zal. It's a great line. Ra'iti davar tema. I saw a great wonder. It means I cannot believe that the Rambam wrote this. I saw a great wonder. What's the great wonder? Shehu mifareisham shebimei hamikdash hayu mitanin ba'av. He says the Rambam says that during Ba'isheni the Jews fasted on Tisha B'av. And now the Tashbates basically says what we all want to say. Second line after the dot. Ve'im bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam hayu mitanim ba'av. If they fasted when there was a Beis Hamikdash, im kein kra dichtiv dehavei sason v'simcha. The pasuk in Zechariah that says that one day there'll be holidays. Matay yihyezeh. Says the Tashbates, I don't get it. If you fast when there's a Beis Hamikdash, when are you not going to fast? Right? La'asid lavo, there'll be a Beis Hamikdash. We'll still fast? It doesn't make any sense. I got it. It doesn't make any sense. Now, here's what they say. Whenever you come across something, we can't do this anymore, something that you simply are unwilling to accept, here's always the fallback position. Last full line. Venira. You're going to have to get the notes from somebody. This is a good part. Venira shemasha kosav harav zal bezeh hu ta'ut sofer. The Rambam never wrote this. Ta'ut sofer means, you know, it's a scrivener's error. Somebody wrote it down. The Rambam, Meir Shabbos, was written in Arabic. It was translated. He said, you know, it can't be. V'hama'ayein b'sugyat ha'gemara yavin zeh ki mifurash hu sham. It says the Tashbates, the Rambam knew the Gemara. Right, it can't be the Rambam thought they fasted on Tisha B'Av. He knew the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Bizman sheyesh shalom," right? It will be l'sason l'simcha. There's no fasting. So, of course, the answer is, I'm not saying, you know, my guess is the Rambam did write it. He understood the Gemara differently than the Tashbates. The Tashbates understood the Gemara like the Ritva, that shalom means Beis Hamikdash, the way most of us would have said it. So, he thinks it's inconceivable the Rambam would have paskined against the Gemara. But it's possible the Rambam thought that shalom didn't mean the Beis Hamikdash. Shalom meant political sovereignty. Shalom meant freedom to worship however way we want, and that did not exist during Ba'is Sheni. And in fact, it's not just a guess. That is how the Rambam more or less paskins, and I could bring a proof to it from a different Rambam. Look at number 8. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, it's a strange place, says as follows. He's talking about Yemos HaMashiach. It's a famous Rambam. And the Rambam says, Umipnei zeh nit'avu kol Yisrael nevi'ehem v'chachmehem limot HaMashiach. And for this reason, all the wise people, the prophets, desire Yemos HaMashiach. Why? What happens b'Yemos HaMashiach? So Beis HaMikdash? No. He says, Kidei sheyanuchu mimalchiyot she'einan manichot lohem la'asok b'Torah uv'mitzvot kehogen. The Rambam says, what's the worst part of living in Gullus? What's the worst part of living under the rule of a foreign entity, of not being free? It's that we can't build a halachic society, we can't learn Torah, we can't do those things that we want to do because we're not subject to our own independent decision making. Right? We can't do that. That's what we want. Ulefikach, second line after the dots. Yilmad kol ha'am. What's going to happen, b'Yemos HaMashiach? Says the people will learn. V'yore otam derech Hashem. V'yavou kol ha'goyim l'shomo. When we have real freedom, we'll be able to build a model society. people will learn the true Derech Hashem. Not only that, the Gentiles will want to emulate us. They'll look at our society that we built, a society where people study and keep Shabbos and care for the poor and respect the elderly and provide charitable services. All the things we dream of, we'll build that society and everybody will want to copy us. Continuing on at the third line after the dots, famous sheet of the Rambam, he says, Yemot HaMashiach Hu HaOlam HaZeh. Yemot HaMashiach is this world. It's exactly the way we live now. Va'olam kemin hago holech. And the world, no miracles. Sad thing, the Rambam holds that the Yemot HaMashiach will still have to go to work. Right? When you put a bank card in the machine, it's really going to give you your balance. It's not just going to refill automatically. But, so it's Olam HaZeh kemin hago holech, Ela, Shehamalchut tachzor li Yisrael. But we will be able to rule ourselves completely freely. Ukvar amru chachamim harishonim, ein bein haolam hazeh limot hamashiach, ela shibud malchiyut bilvad. Says the Rambam. The Rambam is not against the third Beis Hamikdash. He wants there to be a third Beis Hamikdash, but it's secondary. Says the Rambam, what we're dreaming of, what we want, is to be able to build the proper ideal society. Which the Rambam thinks, tying into previous mitzvahs we've seen, has a king from Beis David who is smart and charitable and righteous and caring and sensitive and moral and ethical and all the things he ever wanted. And that's the society that we build, and people learn Torah and people act properly and people stop competing with each other and they stop being jealous. It's an ideal world. Yes, we go to work and we go to minyan and we come and we learn, but it's a different life. And so based on that, the Rambam says, that's not what we had during Bayis Sheni. It's far from what we had during Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni, we had a religious symbol. We had the Beis HaMikdash. But we couldn't do what we wanted. And Bruce mentioned before, the Kohat, there was a lot of corruption. Mm-hmm. It definitely wasn't what we wanted.
We had Rome.
So therefore, it's not surprising that the Rambam thinks that we fasted during Bayis Sheni on Tisha B'Av, although not on the others. Now, let's come back to us. What did we see so far? We started with a question that the people in Bavel came and asked. Beis HaMikdash is being rebuilt. Should we fast or not? The answer was, all four fast days are sometimes going to be fast days, sometimes they're going to be holidays, and sometimes they're optional. Okay? We've concluded that they're optional, except for Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av was worse. Now, how did we get to the situation that we're in now, where we fast all four, but they're of differing severity? How did that halacha come to be? The answer is as follows. We won't do it inside, but I'll explain it because it's interesting. It is in fact the case that there is only one model for a fast day. And that's Yom Kippur. And that's 25 hours. And that's not just no fasting, but it's no washing and bathing, and it's no family relationships, and it's no leather shoe. It's all the inuy. So when you look in the, you know, again, this is the beauty of halacha. You know, when you look nowadays, you just get the answer. You have to fast. Here's how it developed. The fast days were all optional. We, the Jews, at some point decided that we're going to fast all four. But we made it up. We basically said, well, we're going to fast all four because the four are optional. But with respect to Tisha B'Av, okay, now we're going to fast for real. Tisha B'Av is going to be a 25-hour fast because that's what they were all supposed to be. So Tisha B'Av is going to be like Yom Kippur. But the other three, look, the other three were not so serious. They were not hufkulu botzarot. So we're going to accept on ourselves to fast the other three, but we're going to make up something new. It's going to be like a zecher. We're not going to start fasting at night. We're not going to refrain from bathing. We're not going to refrain from all the other things. We'll just have a fast from the morning until the night. There was no such thing beforehand, but since we were making it up anyway, we agreed to do that. That fast is now mandatory on us. Again, it has many, many leniencies that Yom Kippur doesn't have, but it's mandatory on us. You can't just get up and say, I'm not going to fast. The Jewish people have accepted upon themselves to fast. It's true, it's only 12 hours. Okay, sometimes it's 9 hours, sometimes it's 13, and you know, but that's what we accepted. What about Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av, Hoel V'Huchbulu Bot Sarot, either we accepted on ourselves, or was always the case that Tisha B'Av was like Yom Kippur. It had to be a 25-hour fast, and it had to be with all of the Inuyim. Now, here's the interesting thing. That's the halacha that we have nowadays. But the situation changes sometimes, God forbid. Again, some people would argue we have shalom now, we shouldn't fast anymore, that's rejected. But what about the reverse? What about if it was clear to everybody that there was a shmad? If there was a shmad, the halacha should go back to what it once was. That bizman sheyesh shmad, all four fast days are mandatory. And if all four fast days are mandatory, they're mandatory to be 25 hours with all of the inuyim. So here's an interesting thing. In Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter quotes the Rav as having said this. There was a time of a shmad, sadly. Right? Nobody, you know, again, we'll know it when we see it. Mr. Weiser knows it. Right? The Holocaust was a shmad. The Rav said he knew many, many Gedolei Yisrael during the Holocaust who fasted all four fast days like Tisha B'Av, because they thought that was the halacha. Bizman sheyesh shmad, the Gemara is clear. Again, we look into Shulchan Aruch, it's later, it doesn't have the whole complexity. Bizman sheyesh shmad, tzom. What is tzom? When Zechariah says tzom, he means a fast day. A fast day is like Yom Kippur. So there is a significant halachic nafkamina based on when you live. When you lived during a shmad, God forbid, it could be that all four fast days, that on Tzom Gedalia, you had to start fasting right after Rosh Hashanah. And on Shavuos Ubitamos, you have to start fasting at, because then the fasts, they're only short because they're optional, and because we accepted them upon ourselves. But if they were not optional, halacha lemaisa, they would become mandatory on the level of Tisha B'Av. Yes?
Is there evidence during the time of the Spanish Inquisition that people did that? Do we know? Either way?
No idea. You also have to realize something different. In the time of the Spanish Inquisition, it's hard to know. See, we think of the Spanish Inquisition as being a time of shmad, and it was for Jews in Spain, right? But for Jews in England, okay, no, they were probably kicked out already. One of the Jews in England, yeah.
But you say it's something of the Holocaust.
It's hard, right? It's, no.
Holocaust was Europe.
But you're right. But there. Some, right? But sometimes something is so big,
well, so
or let's say this.
Spanish
fine, if you lived in Spain, you lived in the time of shmad. There is no historical, you know, we just don't have records of this thing. My guess is, it may have been so obvious to them that you fast for 25 hours, nobody bothered recording it as a chiddush. You know, all these years later, we know the halacha. But before there was a Shulchan Aruch, which, by the way, there was not at the time of, you know, I think people knew the halacha. Yeah?
I just want to make a comment. In Auschwitz, the Rabbana over there, remember, why did Chicago? Hollywood, nobody fasted.
Well, of course, but that's for a different reason. That's what Pikuach Nefesh.
I understand it up till now, because we were there, we were working, we got food more or less, not
right.
What did they say? Not the American keeper.
Yeah, because
that was different. He didn't say that. Everybody, said,
no, but I'm saying I understand why. I once read, I don't want to say who, an art scroll biography, you know, somebody, a famous Rav who was in Auschwitz, and they wrote about him that, you know, he was so makbid on halacha, he didn't even need kitnios to tie this back to, you know, on Pesach. And I spoke to somebody whose father was there with him, and he said he didn't need kitnios because they didn't serve kitnios. You know, the insane, you know, that's not, if they didn't need chametz because they didn't serve, you know, it's pikuach nefesh.
It's just okay. What happened that the first day of Pesach, he got bread in the morning.
Okay.
So
okay, so you're not right.
You know, he wasn't normal.
Right. It's clear. Now, let's finish with the following. Let's finish with the following. Again, they came and they asked. We did the halacha. Now the machsha. I've done this before, but it's too important not to do it again. They came and asked Zechariah Hanavi, beginning of Perek Zayin. If you go back, right? Ha'evke b'chodesh ha'chamishi hi nazer, right? The Bil and Beis HaMikdash, should I fast, should I not fast? The pasuk that we read in the second paragraph, Tzom ha'rivi'i, kom ha'ashem tzakos, Tzom ha'rivi'i v'tzom ha'chamishi yilabez l'sasonot simcha, that's at the end of Perek Chet. I skip in between beginning from the whole Perek Zayin and the beginning of Perek Chet. I skipped it. Now let's look at some of those psukim, and you'll see something fascinating. Right after they ask Zechariah the question, look at number 10. Perek Zayin and Zechariah Pasuk Dalet. Vayhi Dvar Hashem Tzvakot Elai Leimor. First is what God, he asks God the question, and this is the answer. Emor El Kol Am Haaretz Ve'al HaKohanim Leimor. God says, tell the people the following. Ki tzamtem v'safod b'chamishi uvashivi'i. When you fasted, the fifth month, the seventh month, v'zeh shivim shana. You've been fasting for 70 years, right? The time from Churban Bayis Rishon to the building of Bayis Sheni. Hatzom tzamtuni ani, says God, did I fast? Pasuk Vav. V'chi tochlu v'tishtu. And if you eat and drink now, halo atem ha'ochlim va'atem ha'shotim. It's you who are eating and drinking, not me. Said another way, this is from Rav Menachem Liptek. Said another way, God says, I don't care. Or differently, you're asking the wrong question.
You're asking the wrong person.
You're asking the wrong question. You come to me and you ask, should I fast? And God says, I never told you to fast in the first place. I don't really care so much about you fasting. So what does God care about? Here you go. Third line. Pasuk Tes. Ko amar Hashem tfakot lemor. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Mishpat emet shfotu. Judge fairly. V'chesed v'rachamim. And righteousness and mercy. Asu ish et achiv. God says, you're asking me a narrow halachic question, should I fast? God says, what I care about, why did I destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Not because you fasted or didn't fast. What I care about is how you behave. That's what I care about. God says, don't ask me about fasting. He says, Mishpat emet shvotu, judge fairly, v'ches rachim mazu ish et achim, and act properly one to the other. V'almana v'yatom, widows and orphans, ger ve'ani, foreigners and poor people, al tashoku, don't oppress them, v'ra'at ish achiv al tachshivu bilvavchem, and don't think poorly one of, you know, each to the other. God says there are things I care about. What I care about, you want to, what I care about is building a just society. Yud Aleph, vayima anu lahakshiv. I tell you this, he says, and you refuse to listen. Vayitnu katev soreret va'aznehem ichbidu mishmoa, and you turn your back to me and you close your ears. God says, you know, God says, all you care about it, be careful, I don't mean this literally, all you care about is what's the halach, should I fast or not? God says, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in how you behave. I'm interested in the society that you build together. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayihi ka'asher kara v'lo shameyu. I've told you this before and you didn't listen to me. Ken yikru v'lo eshma ma'asher tzvako. So too you'll continue on. Pasuk Yudalid. Ve'esa areim al kol ha'goyim asher lo yidom. So I scatter you. I sent you to a diaspora. Ve'aretz neshama achareihem me'over u'mishav v'yosimu eretzchem da'l neshama. and the land of Israel lies desolate. Why? Not because you're eating or drinking on Yom Kippur, but because you're not doing what I really care about. You're not caring for poor people. You're not acting righteously. I'm sorry, this sounds like a plea for social justice. But it is. But it is. Now in the next parak, Pasuk Dalet. Ko amar Hashem Tzvakot. This is unbelievable. Before I read the Pasuk, I tell you the following. Rav Amital Zatzal used to say that sometimes on Yom Kippur, what's our problem? Our problem is it's very, very hard to imagine the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. The things we've never seen before. You know, we just don't know what it's like. It's hard to relate to it. But he says there are psukim, there are nevuos about the geula that we can relate to because we've seen some of it. Kama Hashem Tzvakot. Od yeshvu zikeinimu zikeinot birchavot Yerushalayim. There will one day be a time that elderly people live again in Yerushalayim. V'ish mish'anto b'yado me'rov yamim. And you know what? People will be so old, they'll need a cane to walk around. We think of it, or they'll need like a cart. Right?
A scooter.
Right. Mr. Weiser, I thought, was he's the guy who had a cane, but now we got a guy in a scooter. You think this is bad, God says it's a blessing. Because in the old days, you know, nobody lived to old age. He said to have a time in Yerushalayim where old people are walking around, they're so old, says the Navi, you know, they walk around with canes. When I remember, just as an aside, you know, when I was a kid, some people had grandparents. Nobody had a great grandparent. There was no such thing. I'd never met a person who had a great grandparent. Now my parents are great grandparents, and people, you know, were living through amazing prophecies that people couldn't imagine. You know, my father didn't have grandparents. Forget about great grandparents. You know, to be where we are now, Rav Amital used to say this is part of the geula. Pasuk Chet. Urechovot ha'ir yimalu. The streets of the city will be filled with who? Yeladim v'yeladot mesachakim berchovotel. Children playing in the streets. Another Rav Amital story. He said when he came to Israel, he survived the Holocaust. He came to Israel, I don't know, in 47, 46, I don't know exactly when. He said he was walking one day and he saw children playing. And he stopped and he stared at them. And he said he freaked them out and they ran away. He said he had not seen children playing in years. There were no children, there were all old people. He says, now you see it all the time. Pasuk Chet. Now, if you build the society that God wants, he says, Veheveti otam v'shachnu b'toch Yerushalayim. I'll bring them back. They'll live in Yerushalayim. V'hayu li la'am v'ani ayeh lohem le'elohim be'emetu b'tzedaka. They'll be my people. I will be their God. How? Be'emet u'bitzedaka. If they build a righteous society. And now he gives you, in case you missed it. Eileh hadvarim asher ta'asu. This is what you got to do. Dabru emet ishet re'ehu. Speak truthfully. Emet u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'arechem. Judge righteously, judge fairly, treat people fairly. V'ishet ra'at re'ehu al tachshivu bilvavchem. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Ushvuat sheker al te'ahavu. Don't abide lying, falsehoods. Ki et eile asher saneti ne'um Hashem. That's what I hate, says God. And having said all that, then you flip back over and come to our psukim in the second paragraph in Zechariah Chet. Vahidva Hashem Tzvakot Elai. Koma Hashem Tzvakot. Tzoma Revi'i, V'tzoma Chamishi, V'tzoma Shvi, V'tzoma Asri, Yehiyele Beit Yudol HaSason Ulesimcha L'Moadim Tovim. They will be holidays when V'ha'emet V'hashalom Ehavu. If you love truth, if you love peace, if you build the society that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, there is an answer. Yes, we're supposed to fast on Tisha B'Av. But that's not the key. The key is to repair that which we sinned and that which caused God to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And, you know, we lose track of that. Everybody loses track of that. And that's why the message of Zechariah is so important. Yes, we have to fast on Tisha B'Av. But Tisha B'Av is a time to think of why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and what is it that that's going to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And the answer is, and met v'shalom ahavu, build the society that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, usher in an era of true shalom, where we actually go and look at us and say, I wish I could live in a society like that, and that will get us to be a time where not only will we stop fasting, or the fast will be optional, but we'll be able to have a real holiday on Tisha B'Av. B'mher B'yameinu, Amen.
Thank you, Eli.